What's cracking, y'all? Season 1 of Hooker Gate just started, and we're excited to share this forgotten scandal with you. We're also excited to tell you that you can now get exclusive bonus episodes and early access to new episodes of the show through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. iHeart True Crime Plus is the best place to get 100% ad-free episodes of Hooker Gate, plus other true crime shows you love, like The Piketon Massacre, Atlanta Monster, What Happened to Sandy Beal, and Sympathy Pains. So don't wait. New episodes are waiting for you. Subscribe to iHeart True Crime Plus today, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They all needed protection from cops and from conviction. Where did they go? Joe Motley Whitehead. I could have gone in the whole house business if I could have got the girls. But the first thing I would have done was sit down with Joe and ask him what his cut would be. Because if you didn't and you got caught, I'm going to put you in jail as long as I can. I mean, nobody's going to do anything about it. Why, Dan? Why aren't you sitting in Gretna, Alta Vista, Lynchburg, Roanoke, asking me these questions? Because Joe Motley Whitehead wasn't there.
When you're in D.C., the story finds you. But when you're in Pennsylvania County, well, you find the story. Picture it. The mid-70s in the heart of the South. Rodney entered the county clerk's office. Fluorescent lights, institutionally neutral walls, the aroma of pine saw in the air. His weekly trip, sometimes mundane, but more often than not lately, intriguing. You see, those ladies at the county clerk's office, they didn't miss a thing. And if a warrant was looking funny or a case disposition didn't quite make sense, those ladies at the county clerk's office, well, they would let Rodney know.
So I'm in Chatham, which is the county seat. I went every week and looked at court records to see, you know, arrest warrants and so forth. Great source for stories. And one of the clerks came up to me and very quietly handed me a stack of papers and said, "You know, Mr. Smith, look at these."
As he thumbed through the file cabinet collection of this week's arrests, Rodney noticed a troubling pattern.
And you start seeing all these arrests, people for prostitution, you know, going back up, you know, a period of time. And then there was this raid, and they had an undercover officer who went in to a truck stop. And his mistake was, if you want to call it that, he gave the pimp cash money for sex. And he actually had sex with this woman. Well, that pretty much nullifies in court. You got a problem with that. Question becomes, why did he do that? And number two, nothing was really done to all those people who were arrested. Virtually nothing. So that plus the fact you're talking about a place in the Bible Belt, this type of behavior, it's so out of the blue as to almost be incomprehensible. So it attracts a lot of attention.
Same people, same game, over and over. The crimes? Egregious. The punishment? Low. Why? Rodney couldn't help but notice that the buck stopped with one man. A man who called himself the head law dog of Pennsylvania County, Commonwealth Attorney Joseph Whitehead. When he first embarked upon this career as a journalist, Rodney believed that people were mostly good, mostly honest. What he'd seen in Washington had changed all that. He pulled his notebook from the inside pocket of his jacket, the pages dog-eared with use, and wrote, "Call Joe." In D.C., the story came to you. But in Pennsylvania County, well, you had to find the story. And Rodney had just found one hell of a tale.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. A brash local reporter exposing it all. This is Hookergate, criminals and libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron, author, historian, and lifelong wayward woman. This forgotten scandal happened in my hometown. Join me as I use crumbling news clippings, interviews, and dramatic reenactments to bring to life for the first time in nearly 50 years this wild ride of hedonistic corruption.
Episode 3, Cash and Flesh.
Now, what was the purpose of this enterprise and how did it work? The purpose was to carry on unlawful prostitution activities, very profitable. Although these operations were in four different counties in Virginia and two other states, the four major operators lived in and around Danville, Virginia. And thus, the four operations in Pennsylvania County, that is, the Hillcrest, Janet, Ed's, and the 58, they formed the core of this whole enterprise. Now, to protect the base of operations, at least three of these operators were approached by Defendant Holly and told they would have to pay off the Commonwealth's attorney, Defendant Whitehead. The ultimate tie-in is Holly. He ties in everyone because he was the bag man.
And you wouldn't believe who came in.
Aubrey told the boys gathered around the booth at the Edgewood Diner. Harold Wayne looked up. Could it be? The pot-bellied bastard wiping the grease from his hands a few booths away smiled again at Harold Wayne. From across the diner, the grin read as malicious. HWD looked to Herbert and Aubrey, searching their faces for recognition. Did they, too, recognize this grinning SOB? Had the visitations happened to them as well? Had the Hillcrest or the 29 been besieged? Since opening up Ed's truck stop, HWD had seen a few questionable characters haunting his establishment, riding circles around the parking lot, bumming around the lobby, but never getting properly acquainted with any of the girls. He would put additional locks on the doors, Harold Wayne now vowed in his heart. Hell, maybe he'd install a security system, buttons that light up as a warning in each girl's room. The four men had done well for themselves in these early weeks and months of truck stop pimping, but one must admit there were certain risks.
"Well, are you going to tell us who came by?"
HWD asked.
"Joseph Whitehead,"
Aubrey answered at last.
"I knew it,"
Tommy groaned, and Harold Wayne clenched his fists. Not a man at that table was ready for the operations to get busted up, with everyone just catching their stride and business running at a nice clip.
"Y'all do know who that is?"
Aubrey asked.
"Of course I know who he is," replied Tommy. "The bastard's prosecuted me before." "Then you know that Mr. Whitehead can be a powerful enemy. When it comes to the law, he's where it ends. But let me tell you, this man is up for friendship."
Aubrey lit a cigarette.
"Mostly with the girls."
Herbert Boyd twiddled his fingers in his lap. He didn't think Whitehead was all too friendly.
"You boys have been coasting long enough,"
Whitehead's buddy had informed Herbert when he visited the Hillcrest.
"You gonna have to start paying off." "I don't trust him," said Harold Wayne.
He glanced again at the man across the diner who unabashedly stared back. That man gave a little nod with his head, as if he'd felt himself invoked.
"We'll spit out what we need to know,"
Tommy said to Aubrey.
"That fella over there in the corner booth, that portly gentleman with a smile and a plaid blazer, that fella. Y'all see him?"
Aubrey said, pointing to the gentleman who'd been persecuting Harold Wayne with his eyes.
"He's been staring at me the whole damn time I've been here,"
Harold Wayne said.
"Well, I know him,"
Aubrey continued.
"That man is called Wayne Holly. He owns a car dealership here in Danville, and,"
he continued,
"I don't think that's all he deals in, okay? Because what I'm trying to tell you boys is he dropped Joe Whitehead off of my place last night."
Wayne Holly finished paying his bill and strode straight towards the table of men. He looked around the cohort, eyeing each man individually. And then silently, he turned and left out the door.
"What the hell was that about?"
asked Harold Wayne.
"That's what I want to know,"
said Tommy. HWD looked at his watch. Robin would be getting off her morning shift in 15 minutes. He bid his fellows farewell and rose to go meet her, his mind uneasy from the conversation. He didn't want no trouble. But at the same time, he didn't want to stop what he was doing either. These worries occupied his mind as he strode across the parking lot, head down, eyes on his feet.
"Harold Wayne!"
Wayne Holly called out from inside a Cadillac. He rolled down his window and gestured. "Come here." Harold Wayne approached the vehicle.
"Come on, brother, come sit with me here for just a minute." "I'm a busy man,"
Harold Wayne said.
"Hey, I just want to talk to you about some mutually beneficial propositions."
Holly smiled and leaned over, opening the passenger door. Big and heavy, it swung open with a groan. And so, Harold Wayne, against his better judgment, against his pride, and against his fear, got in.
"Now listen,"
Wayne told him.
"I see you doing good business. A lot of men enjoy the services of this kind of business, and hell, I ain't above them. It is the world's oldest industry, ain't it? Get to where you're going, friend." "Where I'm going, friend," is this. You are going to have to pay. You and your friends. Y'all are going to have to pay to keep this little shindig going, but you already knew that. I don't know to which operation you refer, Sir Harold Wayne replied. I'm simply an intermediary. An intermediary between who? Well, I'm just a simple man, but my friend, you see, he ain't so simple. My friend, you see, he can help your business protect it. And who exactly is your friend?
Harold Wayne asked.
Oh,
Wayne replied.
I think you know him.
What's cracking, y'all? Season 1 of Hooker Gate just started, and we're excited to share this forgotten scandal with you. We're also excited to tell you that you can now get exclusive bonus episodes and early access to new episodes of the show through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. iHeart True Crime Plus is the best place to get 100% ad-free episodes of Hooker Gate, plus other true crime shows you love, like The Piketon Massacre, Atlanta Monster, What Happened to Sandy Beal, and Sympathy Pains. So don't wait. New episodes are waiting for you. Subscribe to iHeart True Crime Plus today, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us, they beat us, they burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's in treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe was a cocky Democrat pal. When you got any Commonwealth attorney, you know, you got your bootleg from Joe. He had all his buddies. You pay Joe, you get it taken care of.
While lifelong conservative Frankie Jones might not think too much of the Democratic Party in general, some things can't be disputed. And among those are certain individuals' involvement with, shall we say, reputation-damaging enterprises. Indeed, illegal enterprises. perhaps involvement isn't strong enough a word to describe Whitehead's role in Hookergate. Perhaps boss, beneficiary, protector might be more accurate. Power will do that to a man. Push him to the edges of exhaustion and frustration. Leave him hungry for escape. Exempt him from all rules. Steal from him the novelty, excitement. Nothing feels like anything anymore when everything's available. Power giveth and power taketh away. Among the things power giveth is freedom. Freedom to do whatever the hell you want. Among the things power taketh, morality, ethics. We find excuses for the selfish things we desire.
I would say that's where he came. His, I guess you'd say privilege. Old-time privilege plus Democratic Party power. He was the man to go see. And he was in the middle of it. He was, if you got caught for prostitution, he threw it out. Never went anywhere. If I'm in Chatham and married and I get caught with a prostitute, Joe Whitehead's gonna be my best friend. Joe, you gotta get me out of this damn thing. Yeah, you give me the damn Democratic Party $2,000, it's all taken care of. And that's the way it worked. No cops.
Whitehead would throw out a friend's prostitution case. Sure he would. Whitehead was a man, too. After all, with needs that his frustrated marriage did not meet. However, he could not meet those needs on his own. A man like him couldn't just be seen anywhere with anyone. Lucky for Joe, he had a loyal pal to help facilitate his pleasures.
Wayne Holly was a big one in it. Wayne owned a store up at the end of the road here. When we were 15, 16, Wayne would sell us beer at the back door. We'd come out here, that was where. Good old country boy. But he was a big shot, toothpick in his mouth, buying cars, trading, selling. He got in with them. Because Wayne wanted to be a big shot, but he was just a country boy. Wayne was a bag man. He went and got the money, and he took it. And when all hell broke loose, and he was indicted too, Daddy liked Wayne. Wayne was an okay guy. He just got into some more than he could.
In addition to making monetary payments for protection, Doughty also had to provide women for Whitehead. While Doughty was operating Ed's truck stop, Wayne Holly called and told Doughty to bring a girl out to Holly's trailer at Carriage Hill Trailer Park on the Mount Cross Road for Joseph Motley Whitehead. Holly and Whitehead would also come out to the 58 truck stop and were serviced by the girls. Doughty would have to lock the doors and close up as long as they were there. The investigation revealed that Holly and Whitehead never paid the girls for sexual favors, and Whitehead bragged about being the Commonwealth attorney.
Yellow.
Harold Wayne leaned against the bar in the lamp-lit 58 truck stop at 4 a.m. on a Tuesday night. Or, I guess by now you'd call it a Wednesday morning, a slow Wednesday morning. He'd sent two of his ladies home an hour earlier, and only Robin remained. She lounged on the couch, smoking a Salem Slim and eavesdropping on his phone call.
Well, brother,
said the voice on the other end of the line.
I'm sorry to call you at this late hour, but you know, it's time.
In the background, Harold Wayne could hear revelry, laughter, a glass being knocked over, the sounds of a mess being made.
"Time for what?"
he asked.
"Time to call in that agreement that we made, what we talked about the other day. I'm sure you remember."
"Tell him I want a brunette,"
a man hollered from the background.
"A brunette with big titties."
"Why now?"
"You said I had 3 weeks to come up with that money."
"Well, this isn't about the money, actually. This is about the other."
"Yes, of course. What can I do you for?"
"The sooner you can get a girl out here to Carriage Hill Trailer Park, the better."
Eleven minutes later, with Robin in the front seat, Harold Wayne drove from the streetlights of Danville to the rural outskirts on Mount Cross Road. This gig had to be done right. This was a gig that couldn't be fucked up. Harold Wayne knew Robin had a tendency to smart mouth from time to time. He loved that about her, but with this particular gentleman was important, not one to be smart mouthed. As Harold Wayne drove deeper into the country, Robin adjusted her expectations of what a date with an important man would look like. She thought she might find herself at a mansion on this call, not here, where loose chickens roamed and homes came on wheels. Often, Robin thought, the most powerful men make playgrounds out of trailer parks.
"Now, honey, be twice as nice as you want to be, and then you'll be almost as nice as you need to be."
Harold Wayne laughed as they pulled into the lot of the Carriage Hill Trailer Park. He tried to play casual, but Robin could sense his nerves. It took a tough broad to succeed in this world. Funny thing about being a tough broad, it meant pretending to be a sweet one a lot of times. Robin knew how this game worked. Indeed, she was going to work this game all the way to the top. From the very first night she had spoken with Harold Wayne, Robin knew he was special. Not cold and hateful like the other men she'd worked for. Harold Wayne was smart, driven, ambitious, and wild about her. His enthusiasm and that thick mustache and that swagger made him absolutely irresistibly delicious. So when he first paid her attention, she let her walls down just a little. In the weeks to follow, the walls kept falling. You engage in small talk, but the eyes do all the talking. The lightning strikes between your bodies. It's a chemical thing, an animal thing, this love. Quickly, they fell into a friendship of minds, and soon after that, they fell also into bed.
"What will Phyllis say?"
she had asked him, still sweaty after their first physical encounter. Phyllis spent her time at the truck stop organizing the books and making calls and looking at Harold Wayne wistfully.
"I'll handle Phyllis,"
he promised. Handling things was something that Robin was no stranger to. She'd been handling things since she was a little girl. You know, a lot of the gals that worked with her at the 58 were the same way. Independent, hard. You'd heard about work like this when you were a child, in whispers from your aunts, your mother, in the gossip about the teenage girl who went to live on a farm for a year and came back sad. They'd made it seem like something harsher, sharper,
darker. The adults who'd warned you in veiled stories about bad girls and their pitiful fates. But somehow, you were out here doing just what they warned against, and it barely hurt at all. You were bad, sure, but you weren't sad. As Robin strode from the car towards the trailer, she could hear laughter inside, the chimes of clinking glasses. And although the men in that trailer might control most all of Pennsylvania County, Robin was about to walk in that double wide and control both of them.
What's cracking, y'all? Season 1 of Hooker Gate just started, and we're excited to share this forgotten scandal with you. We're also excited to tell you that you can now get exclusive bonus episodes and early access to new episodes of the show through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. iHeart True Crime Plus is the best place to get 100% ad-free episodes of Hooker Gate, plus other true crime shows you love, like The Piketon Massacre, Atlanta Monster, What Happened to Sandy Beal, and Sympathy Pains. So don't wait. New episodes are waiting for you. Subscribe to iHeart True Crime Plus today, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us, they beat us, they burned us, and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's in treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A middle-aged man came over and asked us what we wanted, and we all ordered soft drinks, and he started asking us some questions about where we were from and so on. I told him that we were building houses in South Hill and passing through. Behind him, I could see into another room with a jukebox and a pinball machine and a sign over it that said Lounge, Members Only. I asked the man, what does it take to become a member and be able to get into this lounge? He replied, all you have to do is want to fuck, 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 fuck.
It takes them a little while to get used to the idea, the veteran explained to the neophyte as together they smoked cigarettes at the bar. Connie was a wild child, bespeckled and freckled and wearing a crochet top. Although she was young in years and experience, she was mature.
"They might not agree right away,"
she explained, leaning back against the wood-paneled wall, lighting a Virginia Slim.
"Don't be deterred. No is the first step to yes."
For a new girl like Buckeye, a woman like Connie was good to find in a place like this. Buckeye listened to Connie's instructions, eyes wide and mouth shut.
"It might take him a while to warm up," Connie continued. "But once they get the notion planted in their mind, well, seems to me that they can't quite get it out. It's like not only do they get used to the idea, they get obsessed with the idea." "Can't blame them,"
Buckeye replied.
"I mean,"
she gestured at Connie's body, toe to head. She wasn't wrong. Connie was beautiful. They both were. Teenagers grown up fast, long hair parted down the middle in the fashion of the times. One blonde, one brunette, one thin, one thick. Tommy liked to keep a variety of women on the roster, something for every man. Connie pointed in the direction of the four men who had recently entered the lounge and nudged Buckeye.
"Watch and learn,"
she said.
"But just do one thing for me, okay?" "Okay. When I wink at you,"
Connie said,
"pull out your titties."
With that, Connie strode over to the men.
"You boys looking for somebody prettier than Roy to talk to?"
she asked, gesturing to the doorman who let them in. She smiled at the cadre of blue collars, each wearing work clothes, overalls, shirts with name patches, hands dotted with grease. She draped herself over the back of the booth, pressing her breasts into one of the men's shoulders. He shifted in his seat and grinned.
"Cat got your tongue?"
she asked.
"Do you boys want a party, or are you just here to drink sody pop?"
She pointed to the round of cheer wines on the table.
"Well, I don't know,"
the biggest of the men piped up.
"What do you mean by party?"
Connie smiled, looked up to catch the eyes of the new girl by the bar. The men followed her gaze with their own. With all eyes on Buckeye now, Connie winked. And the trick was complete.
"That ought to clear up any confusion,"
she told the men.
I would personally like to know more about these parties,"
one of the fellas squeaked. His buddies laughed at him, but not without a glint of envy in their eyes.
"Why don't you follow me down this hallway and we can talk more about it?" "Now look, ma'am, I don't know about any hallways." "You scared?" "Not scared, just broke."
The men looked sheepishly around at each other.
"What do you fellas do, anyway?"
Connie asked.
"We're builders,"
the leader of the men said.
"On a job from South Hill. We was working on some construction projects in the locality and just thought we'd stop on in for a soda,"
Connie finished.
"Well, why don't you come back after you've been paid for your, construction project in the locality, and then we can talk about what you really came here for."
She looked up, winked. From across the room, Buckeye pulled out her titties again.
"Hell, let me see your room."
Connie smiled at Buckeye and then at the man, taking him by the hand down the hallway. Together they passed door after door. Peeking in into one that was open, he spied a small room with a calendar on the wall and a single twin bed in the corner. Next to the bed was a table with a lamp and a notebook, well used. He'd love to know what was in that notebook. Yeah, that was just the kind of information he'd be interested in.
There are more rooms back here,
Connie said, as they passed a bathroom with an open door. A solitary light bulb hung from the ceiling, flickering, a douchebag draped over the shower rod. And for a moment, the man experienced a moral quandary. Yes, this was work. I mean, he was technically on the job, but he was a married man. Connie led the man into a bedroom and sat down on the bed and pulled him close to her. Her face level with his belly button, she looked up to him and said,
"If you weren't so tight-fisted, we could have some fun." "Well, that sounds pretty nice. But I sure would hate to get caught here in case of a raid." "You don't have to worry about that. Just about all the police around here are in on it. And another thing, we have a light right here that would flash in case there was a raid."
She pointed to a small red light above the doorway.
"Okay, then,"
he replied.
"Now, I told you I was broke, and I am broke, but I'm going to get paid next week, and I'll come back. But only if you will be here." "I'll be here." "In that case,"
he said,
"I'll be back."
Thanks for listening. My name is Lindsay Byron, but most people know me as Lux ATL. Learn more about my work, tits out globetrotting and mansions worldwide, at goodtimesbadgirls.com. Follow me on the gram and TikTok at Lux_ATL, on YouTube at LuxATL, and on Substack, where I blog weekly at Tumultuous True Stories by Lindsay Byron. If you'd like to hear more about my own experience slanging companionship across the South, read my memoir, Too Pretty to Be Good by Lindsay Byron. Find it on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and anywhere books are sold online. Hey, if you'd like to continue to listen to me tell stories, check out my first podcast, Stripcast, True Stories from a Stripper with a PhD. Listen on Spotify and iTunes. Follow this podcast on the gram at HookerGate_podcast. Theme music and sound design by my long-term partner in artistic crime, Guy Kelly. You the illest, GK. Check out his work at GuyKelly.com. While this podcast is based upon real events, certain elements have been fictionalized for dramatic effect. I cannot know for certain what exactly was said behind closed doors, so I combine my research and imagination to dramatize scenes described most often under oath in court and, occasionally, secondhand via journalistic or personal accounts. Find citations in the show notes. The pitch for this podcast won the 2021 Next Great Podcast Competition, hosted by Tongle and iHeartRadio, which is why I'm here now producing this joint. My gratitude for the opportunity. HookerGate is a production of iHeartMedia.
Moose! This fucking dog is against HookerGate.
What's cracking, y'all? Season 1 of Hooker Gate just started, and we're excited to share this forgotten scandal with you. We're also excited to tell you that you can now get exclusive bonus episodes and early access to new episodes of the show through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. iHeart True Crime Plus is the best place to get 100% ad-free episodes of Hookergate, plus other true crime shows you love, like The Piketon Massacre, Atlanta Monster, What Happened to Sandy Beal, and Sympathy Pains. So don't wait. New episodes are waiting for you. Subscribe to iHeart True Crime Plus today, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.